For on-time delivery of scissor lifts, booms and elevated work platforms, Height for Hire at 1-800-HEIGHT.
Got to be quick because Moon's got to pop off to the gym. First time in a while.
Where's he going to pop?
Well, you know, I actually had an echocardiograph a few years ago and the doctor said, you'll be fine. You haven't got the mental toughness to ever push your body hard enough to have a heart attack.
What a great rap.
Isn't that good?
How long ago was that?
I'm willing to quit. 2 years ago?
This guy we're going to go to was former member of the Hungarian military and a gymnast. And
so he can save me.
Yeah, he could.
Or he can push you to that limit. That finally your doctor goes, well, that surprises me.
I didn't think he was going to die.
Jesus.
The PM, Rich Uncle Mal, he calls through today. Wally Lewis joins us to remember 30 years since the Broncos' first ever game. And we've got a full Oscars wrap as well. Bit of contention about a woman having sex with a fish, winning best picture.
In Shape of Water. It's a beautiful love story about a woman and a massive carp.
And can of worms, we talked about sledging.
Sure did. Enjoy the catch-up.
Oh, he joins us every week. We're so fortunate to have the PM, Rich Uncle Mal. Hello, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto. Hello to you, Moon Man, and, of course, Robin Bailey. Good morning to you, madam.
Good morning. Well, Barnaby's casting doubts over the paternity of Vicky's child. This is awful.
Vicky's child sounds like a possible Oscar winner, doesn't it? And the winner of Best Picture is Vicky's child. I mean, who would play Barnaby, though? Quite frankly, I think Barnaby is a low act. I mean, as they would say in the prison system, a low dog. I mean, there's another word there that I can't use. I mean, really, what an awful thing to do to your pregnant partner, as you alluded to yesterday morning, Robin Bailey. Mm. I mean, let's examine his biological history, the origin of his species. I really don't think he's one of us. I mean, look at that rancid bonce. In fact, maybe he's the same as the amphibian from In the Shape of Water. But I don't think anyone wants to make love to Barnaby anymore.
Well, so you seem to be referring to it a lot. Did you end up sitting down and watching the Oscars yesterday?
Well, of course I did. I love it. Lucy and I always sit down on the couch, skin up a fatty to take the edge off. I thought Frances McDormand's speech was wonderful, but I'm amazed at what a breeding ground Neighbours and Home and Away has been over the years. I mean, tick them off, Margot Robbie, Russell Crowe, Heath Ledger, Guy Pearce, Naomi Watts. I'm just amazed that Dr. Carl, played by Alan Fletcher, he never cracked it in the US.
He's
terrific talent. And I really wonder what held him back. I'd like to see him on that big night with a statuette, of course.
Hold on, let's get serious.
Yeah, let's get serious. The 28th negative news poll. Tony, he's lurking.
He is lurking. And, of course, he's going to serve it up to me, isn't he? He's going to say, well, if 30 news polls is good enough for me to be sacked, why not you as well?
You did it to him.
I'm going to take a leaf out of Davey Warner's book and I'm going to start sledging Tony. Tony, well, what about your weird ears? Listen, mate, your junk looks tiny in your dick stickers when you get out of the sea. you weren't a PM's ring, Tony Abbott. I've slept with your wife. Everyone has.
No, you can't.
If it's good enough for Dave Warner and his mates, why isn't it good enough for me? I've slept with your wife, Tony.
Okay, let's wrap it up on that, sir. Are you singing lately?
Well, I am, because I know that it's raining in Brizzy today, so I thought I'd sing this classic by Crowded House. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you. Walking round the room, singing stormy weather at 57 Mount Pleasant Street. Now it's the same room, but everything's different. Let's just go to the chorus, shall we? Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, always take the weather. Now, before I go, I know that everybody will be on the edge of their seats wanting to know where I'm rocking today, I am rocking Mango Hill. Triple M rocks Mango Hill, 4509, represent peeps.
Okay, can you guys explain to me exactly what happened in South Africa between the Australian... What do you mean no?
Oh, no one knows exactly what went on. In the cricket,
you mean? Sledging. Yeah, what's going on?
Dave Warner said something about Quentin de Kock's family.
Was getting really tight. We were well ahead in the test match. Here's the big picture. We were well ahead in the test match. We've ended up winning. That's all great, as you would have heard in the sport. But they were getting close. They had this enormous partnership and we finally got their number one batsman out, okay? We ran him out, which shouldn't happen at Test cricket. That happens in T20 when you're all desperate. So they were all excited and they'd obviously been trying to put pressure on him for ages. He ended up making 80. So Nathan Lyon, first of all, dropped the ball near him. That got him in a bit of trouble. Davey Warner gave it to the bloke at the other end because he was the one who made the bad call to get Faf du Plessis was got out. Yeah, he was the one. So the batsman who didn't get out, they all went down, charged down, said, "Oh, got that, mate, you're an idiot, la, 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 la."
So they were sledging him.
Okay, they were sledging that guy. But it was another guy, the wicketkeeper who made a heap of runs, 83 runs, Quinton de Kock, who... The South Africans are saying that Davey Warner said something to him about his mother and daughter. Okay, so Dave Warner's had a crack at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the business, you see all the pictures where there's pushing and shoving on the stairs at the tea session.
What happened?
He said something to Dave Warner about his wife. And Dave Warner's wife's over there in Durban with the kids. Dave Warner's wife, Candice Fowlson, used to be a Nutrigrain iron woman. Okay,
yes.
She had
there was
an incident.
Something about with a footballer.
With Sonny Bill Williams years ago. There was mobile phone stuck under a toilet
tryst.
Well,
so
yeah,
someone, so
happened.
So one of the South African
they know it
keeper.
Gets under Davey Warner's skins. If you mention Dave Warner's wife and Sonny Bill Williams, he goes nutso.
And here's my point about sledging: why do we do it?
Because to psychologically erode the natural ability. So as soon as your brain, that's why they've always done it, your brain starts thinking about other things than what you're supposed to be doing, whether it's batting or bowling or whatever. It's normally batting that they sledge. It's to pull you down a notch so you can't switch on.
So is this an Australian thing? Is it a sporting thing?
Sporting thing.
I reckon it's worldwide, definitely.
Well, I think it should be banned.
Why?
Because we cannot say to our kids in school about bullying and having people say nasty things to them and then on our sporting fields around the globe it be okay to sledge because it's on a sporting pitch.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think that, like, if umpires hear it...
sport. Let's just call off all sport.
No, let's...
You've got to be mentally strong to play sport.
But why don't you leave it to the natural ability, and that's where the mental toughness comes in. How long can you remain good at what you do? That's what sport's about.
How do you
about.
Think you're going to police this, Robin? Just give us a quick template. Give us a sketch.
For exactly the thing that if an umpire hears some sledging, someone gets fined or gets sent off.
The same way you would police, people urinating on the ground at maybe the Broncos' first game.
But if you see it
or hear it.
But if you're on a body contact, all right, take NFL. Well, no, take our games, rugby league or AFL. Those blokes are sledging each other the whole game.
Okay, and if they
and
get
if you,
caught.
And if you disintegrate and you're no good, you don't play professional sport anymore. If you mentally disintegrate, you don't play, and you go back and get a job bricklaying or driving a truck, and that's fine.
Okay, but how come name calling is okay on a sporting field, but we don't want our children to do it in school?
What? Hold on. No, school, they're all soft. We're trying to let those people grow. If you're a professional sportsman, you've already grown a really tough edge.
Well, clearly Warner hasn't, or else he wouldn't try and punch
a
South
man,
African.
He's got little man syndrome, and that's the thing. And everyone knows what his trigger is, and they just keep pulling it. It happens all the time.
You know, Davey Warner's reaction on the staircase and on the field is also part of his showmanship. That's his sport, you know, the aggressive little terrier.
All right, let's sell this once and for all. Man.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
What's the statement we're making
about
want? This?
Well, Robin Bailey is saying that sledging is wrong, so that is the statement on 133353. Now, you can agree,
if
you
it's
can
too
disagree.
Hot for you, get out of the kitchen and go and get a job.
Well, it's quite surprising that you agreed with Robin.
I do agree with it. I had a little bit of white line fever and used to, be quite mouthy on the field, but I don't think it is good for anyone. I really don't.
Page 14 of today's paper. Yeah. For Australian NBL star Paddy Mills, racial slurs such as the ones he was subjected to during a game in the US last weekend was nothing new. He was often racially taunted to the point of crying as a student at an exclusive private school in Canberra.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we got rid of most of those fools out of crowds here.
So racial vilification is no longer accepted on the sporting field. Neither is vilifying someone because of their sexuality. So where does it end? I mean, you've got to draw a line in the sand and say, if you're sledging someone, there's a penalty straight away. Let's move on to sport.
Jason of Toowoomba, what do you reckon?
Yeah, good morning. Look, my point is I don't think we should rule out sledging altogether because our Australian cricket team are great at dishing it out, but when someone gives it back, they just don't seem to handle it particularly well.
And, great call.
You know, I'm a proud Australian of many of our sporting achievements, but I've got to say our Australian cricket team are really hard to follow and embrace at times because of this type of behaviour. It's not the first time.
Yeah, that's a good call. But it always seems to be Warner in the last few years, and we're going, just this week he said, I'd like to be a politician and I would love to be a captain of all the teams. Really?
Oh, really?
He's the captain of our T20 team.
So does he sledge? Does Warner sledge?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for goodness
sake. See this?
Oh, yeah, he's a rampant sledger.
Yeah. Quinton de Kock, the guy who apparently sledged Davey Warner, he is saying that he abused my mother and daughter, a mother and wife.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means.
Brad of South Brisbane.
Quinton de Kock's name's enough, probably.
Yeah. Brad, what do you reckon about sledging?
I don't mind the banter. When it gets over, person over the line, it's not on. And, like, Warner gives it, but they're both at fault. If that was in a workplace, say in your workplace, and someone said something about your wife or kids or your mother or that, you punch them in the face and they get fired. And they got to realise it's a workplace. And what Robin says right too, kids are looking up to them and he's just not a good role model. He's a peanut. And, you know, the greats of sport don't sledge. Roger Federer, Michael Jordan, he's just not a great of the sport. He thinks he is, but he's not.
Yeah.
Sometimes sledging can yield some pretty funny stuff, like Botham versus Rod Marsh. Botham comes to the crease and Rod Marsh says, how's your wife and my kids? And Botham replied, my wife's fine, but my kids are retarded. But I know it's a tough word to say, but it's a funny sledge.
Were there any really good sledges, Australian cricketers?
Ian, no, we can't keep going. Ian Healy used to say when he was keeping to, what was the fat key, with the fat skipper of Ranatunga of Sri Lanka? Can I do it on radio? Yeah. How come you're so fat? Because goes, every time...
I have sex with your wife.
Okay,
you're
not allowed to. Righto. Aaron, I've
not... Are you allowed to do those,
no,
Robin?
No, you're not. No, okay. Aaron, help me here. Do you agree with sledging or not?
You know what, Robert? I love your lights and I agree with most of what you say, but today I'm disagreeing with you. There's a clear line between bullying at school and sledging on the field. And at school, it's just all about trying to dominate and belittle people and being mean, whereas on the field, like Marto said, it's just about knocking them down a peg to win. And, you know, I think it's if tactical. It stays on the field, it's fine.
Yeah.
Following up to the dressing shed, it's not on. Like, you know, that you can't do that. But I think, you know, when it's, you know, the odd joke on the field or the odd sledge on the field, that's fine. It's, you just got to knock them down to win. That's what you got to do.
But, okay, we'll agree to disagree.
They're very similar things, dominating and belittling on or off a field.
Wasn't Merv Hughes a really good sledger?
Oh, yeah.
Did he write a book or something?
There was one, I can't remember the Indian cricketer that said, you look like a fat bus driver. And next ball he got him out and he goes, ding, 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 tickets please.
85% of people disagreeing with you, Robin. They think that sledging is absolutely fine.
In sport,
yeah. Let's keep it out of the schoolyards though. Brisbane's Triple M Big Breakfast.
Yesterday I read out a text to you guys from my wife saying, hey... So it's time to stop drinking alcohol and shred 2018. And
how long were you in Adelaide for the festival?
I was in Adelaide for 2 weeks.
And what were you doing most nights?
Oh, the first week was just an absolute body blitz and a nightmare.
What does that mean? That means that you just ate whatever you like and drank a lot?
Yeah.
And, okay, great.
And got
good.
Not a lot of sleep yet.
Right.
Sorry,
okay,
body blitz and a nightmare. Yeah, I'm talking from my body's point of view. And then Mick Malloy went home and my wife and child, Maggie, my youngest, turned up. And so I led a pretty clean life for the second week. Final weekend, they went home. And
how come she sent that text yesterday?
Sent that text yesterday saying, come on, buddy, this is time. This is the line in the sand now.
That's what she said in January.
Yeah, I know. She tries it every month. We've been together for 11 years. So then at 7 o'clock last night, I get this text from you, Marto. Any interest in a PT session with my mate Farkas in the morning? Semi-finalist Australian Ninja 2018. 2018 shred.
And well, I replied, said you had to shred. He was a Hungarian Olympic gymnast.
Right.
And great little fella. And he was in the Ninja. You know the Ninja on Channel 9 last year? Yeah, he got to
terrific.
The semis.
Well, that means he's pretty
and,
damn
And you know
good.
I don't like PTs all that much, but he's captured my imagination. I like talking to him, and I've done two sessions with him, and I almost died. Okay.
And just saying Hungarian means that he's going to do some tough stuff that we don't want.
Don't hurt, Moon.
But
come on.
I said, yeah, I'm into it, so long as you don't mind watching a grown man cry, spew, crap himself and die. Thumbs up. Then this morning I said...
Is that a yes?
Yeah. So this morning I said, like, yeah, I'm going to the gym. And the look on your face, Robin Bailey, was you're going to die.
You're not a gym-looking guy.
You're not.
What does that mean?
That means you look like you're 8 months pregnant and maybe you should do something else first.
Wow.
See his doctor.
Yeah, like get some lipo.
Pain persists.
But the bubble's too big, isn't it? It's got to go.
Well, just in case there is something in there, then you can start again.
What are you expecting? Like, what do you think's there at the gym?
What machines
do you think you can use?
I can do everything at the gym.
Everything.
Oh, you got to be careful.
I can't do a lot.
My knees are no good, so I don't do squats and stuff.
Well, what I'd happened, the last time I walked into a gym, was late 2016.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
So I started to suffer an L4-5 disc injury.
Or a common one, lower back.
Yeah.
That
came because I dropped my motorcycle and tried to catch it and hurt my back. Anyway, so that's another story altogether. So I had to go and get an epidural and take care of my back, and the doctor said no more exercising. And so I present Exhibit A.
Okay, so
the doctor's fault.
It's the doctor's fault. 18 months of zero exercise.
Here's my question.
Doctor first.
What do you enjoy doing? If you have to exercise, what do you want to do apart from sex?
I like punching the bag.
Okay, then do that.
Right.
Because if
that's
you do
at the gym, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a bag at the gym.
Yeah.
But get someone who'll hold the bag while you punch it, because otherwise this is a pointless exercise.
Yeah, that's
and we're
going to
have this conversation.
That's why you get Farkas, because he pushes you. Because often I'll go.
You've got to start somewhere, don't you? Baby steps.
Yeah. But you've got to love it. You've got to get your head into gear. If you don't want, you've got to, genuine, like, Marto eats whatever he likes in Breakfast Radio
You're the only one who can, mate.
Back injury's going to flare up pretty quickly this afternoon.
Your first 5 minutes of the sesh.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to flare up.
Oh, yeah. It's gone again.
Actually, I'm starting to feel a bit of a tweak now.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
This isn't a pretty visual image I'm going to leave you with, but... It's all about painting word pictures here on The Wireless. After 2 long weeks of the Adelaide Fringe Festival, my wife flew out on Saturday with Maggie, my 5-year-old. And if you use flying out as a graph going up, the graph, the opposite and alternative graph is me descending into a world of horrific debauchery.
Oh, with all your mates. You and your comedy mates.
So, Saturday night... not much sleep, and into dawn, and then got a couple of hours, did a winery with my mate Merrick Watts out in the McLaren Vale. Anyway, Sunday night, of course, I'm going to get to bed relatively early because I got radio Monday morning, finished my show, went home, took a bit of a shower, then needed to go to the toilet, which is always a rip-off. You always want to go to the toilet before you shower. But, so ripped off by the cosmic universe. And so had to sit down.
Okay.
Sitting down.
Okay.
I fell asleep on the toilet.
Oh, no.
Woke up.
That's tired.
Like leaning against the door, like the wall. And it was an hour later. That is tired, isn't it?
That's ultimate tired.
That is.
I've never heard better.
Your face, Robin Bailey. That face was scarier than when I said I'm going to go to the gym for the first time in 18 months. That one, you were tongue out.
Unless there's a girl who's had a bloke fall asleep on top of her.
Oh.
Imagine that's tired.
No, that's probably happened a bit, isn't it? Well, strangest place. Have you never fallen asleep on the job?
No, I haven't.
Well, you obviously have. Yeah. You might have sleep apnea. We might have to take you in for a complete overhaul.
I'm like River Phoenix from My Own Private Idaho.
If no one rings up, it is
over the joint.
Maybe it is only you.
Do you want to know? Do you want to see if other people have fallen asleep?
Yeah, well,
please
help me out. The strangest place you've fallen asleep. I've definitely fallen asleep on the job because I've had someone say, "Are you snoring?" No, no. No, I wasn't. Like, straight into her.
She was that bad. No, you were that bad.
I can't blame the recipient.
Now, the moon man's falling. Fallen asleep on the toilet. Where's the strangest place you've fallen asleep?
It was a long nine-night, too. It just wasn't a nod. I went nine-night on the tootie.
You know what would have woken you up? If you were that tired that you sleep for an hour, you would have got cold.
No, what woke me up eventually was the slump forward and my elbow hit the toilet roll holder. I just went, like, who put that in a bed? Oh, I'm not in a bed. God, that's I'm on a dunny.
Oh, Lisa of Ipswich, where have you fallen asleep?
Oh, I fall asleep on the toilet often. Not Lawrence's mammoth effort, but yeah.
You're just tired.
Just nod it off.
Are you a mum?
Yeah.
Are you a mum, breastfeeding and stuff? Yeah, you never
get enough sleep. I'm past that, but my bladder's just not what it used to be.
Oh, twins.
So I do.
Twins?
No.
So, Lisa, can I ask you this? When you go to the toilet, do you switch the light on just for a moment and then use your night vision memory to go to the toilet, or not switch the light on and thus you're sitting there in the pitch black?
No, I have the I have the light on all the time, so I'm like a moth to the flame.
Right.
So I can find my way there.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Yeah. And then and I have done it at work as well.
Gone nine-nine on the toot.
Like, I just had 40 winks because we've got like the wheelie handy bar thing just right beside the toilet, and it's a good height to put your elbow on and lean your head on.
Okay, yeah. But the basin.
You've got to work out.
Handy bar, basin.
Well, if you've had a big night. Coxie of Jimboomba. Where have you fallen asleep?
Look, I went to the RNA show many, many years ago, and I went to the RNA bar, and I got on a train after going to the RNA bar. I went all the way to Ben Lee asleep. Yeah. This is back when it used to stop at Ben Lee. It never used to go to the coast.
Yeah.
So I slept to the end of the line.
To the end of the line, yes. And then I went from Ben Lee all the way back through the city and woke up in Caboolture.
Oh, wow.
That's great. So from one end of the line to the other.
Up to way the other end of Brisbane. That's nice one, mate. How did you, where did it end? What happened in the end?
I woke up and luckily I was the first train back to Ben Lee, Logan Lee, where I had to go in the first place.
Oh, good Lord.
So how long a trip all round? A couple of hours?
Nine. Well, it only took like 10 minutes to me because I was asleep for all of it.
That's a comfy train. Good work, mate.
Good on you, Coxie.
Hey, Sharon, out of Daybro, where'd you fall asleep?
I've fallen asleep on a beer bottle.
Really?
Oh, that's
slumped
impressive.
Forward?
Yeah, well, it was after a long night at the Gympie Muster, and we're going back to camp for a couple of last bevvies, and I've got a beer bottle sitting on the table, and I've just rested my cheekbone in the top of the beer bottle, and I ended up falling asleep.
Yeah, gimpy pillow, they call them.
Gimpy pillow, yeah.
Do they? And how long did it take the mark to come out of your face, Jaron?
Oh, yeah, I didn't have a mark. I think I woke up, I wasn't out for long, probably out of 10 minutes or something, and yeah, so I didn't have a mark there or anything, but I thought, wow.
Sleeping on beer bottles.
A micro sleep on a gimpy pillow. Thanks, Charles. Yes.
No worries.
Big breakfast.
Okay, let's talk about the Oscars. And to put it in perspective, I was at a function yesterday at Event Cinemas, and one of the organisers said that when it comes to Oscar movies, Black Panther has made more in the last 2 weeks than all of the Oscar-nominated movies put together.
Wow.
And there's the difference. This is about...
Has a Marvel movie, and that Marvel franchise has made gazillions, has it ever won any awards, any of those Marvel movies, like Iron Man, any of them?
Well, Star Wars was nominated. It's usually
but
for
it wasn't
things,
a Marvel.
No, I know, but that ilk of movie, right? Usually it's for things like sound editing or special effects.
Yeah.
That's where they get them. They don't necessarily get it for great acting. But if you miss the Oscars, the things you need to know, actor in a leading role, Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour.
Oh, I love that film.
I hated that film. The Crown on Netflix was better.
No,
I watched it. I never watched movies.
When you say The Crown on Netflix was better, do you reckon that the Winston Churchill, who was the guy from Third Rock
and
the Sun?
Sorry, the Winston on The Crown was better than the Winston on The Darkest.
Gary Oldman's Winston was better.
Okay, he won an Oscar, so everyone else in Hollywood thinks he was better. Yeah. Anyway, The Crown wasn't up for anything.
You love The Crown.
Yeah, I do love The Crown.
I'm going to throw another one. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing. Now, you saw that.
Yep.
Did you reckon that was all that good? Like, it was just awkwardly. I only liked it when she kicked that bloke
okay,
in the
nuts. Okay, so Frances McDormand won
and then, and
the
then
best
then girlfriend
actress.
Right in the
other...
Okay. Vagine.
Yeah.
Have we sorted... Okay, best picture for those that haven't seen it is a thing called The Shape of Water, which is about this alien creature that a mute woman falls in love
Robin,
with and tries to...
Can
save.
I just read the you the first... The paragraph of the plot?
Yeah.
Talk about, Moon, I saw
talk
it,
about
the trailer for 3
here.
Minutes. It's weird.
Elisa Esposito, orphaned as a child, found with a wound on her neck, is a mute. She lives in an apartment above a movie theatre. Just let's make this as weird as possible with as many kind of like subcultures and minorities. She works as a cleaning woman at a secret government laboratory.
Yeah, how does she get
her only
secret?
Friend yeah. is her neighbour Giles, a struggling gay advertising illustrator.
Oh, God.
And
with
her co-worker
nut,
Zelda,
probably.
An African-American woman who also serves as her interpreter at work.
It's the United Nations of awkwardness.
Yeah, and
the movie.
Director won the best director and he also won for the best picture. And he did get up and say, look, when we were pitching this, we also thought it was really weird, but they managed to get funding.
It was about a woman having sex with a fish.
Well, kind of. Well, she saved his life first. And we could talk about fashions, but that would bore everyone
Hold
senseless.
On. Before we just move on, Brendan, you're the one who pointed this out. There's a lot of similarities between The Shape of Water, the winner of the Oscar, and Splash.
1984.
Remember
Tom
Daryl
Hanks
Hannah?
Falls in love with a mermaid. Did the director also say that he stole the plot?
Stole
from
the
Splash?
Idea.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, because I remember Daryl Hannah in that movie eating a crayfish whole and just crunching the shell.
Was, everyone remembers that.
That was the moment for me
reasons.
And Daryl.
There were some wonderful speeches. I think the most favourite thing for me was Jimmy Kimmel offering a jet ski and Helen Mirren to anyone who kept their speeches short.
Did anyone win that?
Yes, they did.
Who?
Look, some obscure guy who I don't know, but when they gave it to him, there is Helen Mirren back in her frock on top of the jet ski, absolutely rocking it. It was fantastic.
Good.
However, this is the one speech that I want to play you. It's from the really obscure category of Best Original Song winner, and it wasn't The Greatest Showman, This Is Me, which has got airplay right across the world. It was actually for the rather obscure song Remember Me from the movie Coco, which was animated. Now, the couple who've won it are actually a couple in real life, and their name are Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. But I want you to have a listen to what they actually said.
Most of all, we thank our family, the Andersons and the Lopezes, and our daughters, Katie and Annie, who are here with us tonight. Your love and creativity inspire everything we do.
But this is not for you. This is for my mom who passed away. Everyone who knew her will always remember her.
Not for you, too.
You mentioned him. He's howling on the stage and he's going, yeah, not for you. It's for my mum.
Oh,
and then he lifts his
right
for me, mum.
I don't know. Maybe that just made me chuckle.
I thought
but
Jimmy Kimmel kicked the night off really well. He's a class act and he's so kind of relaxed, too. He made a great speech. One of the jokes was about Harvey Weinstein being kicked out of the Academy.
That's right.
The Academy, as you're no doubt aware, took action last year to expel Harvey Weinstein. You know, the only other person to be expelled from the Academy ever was a character actor named Carmine Caridi. In 2004, he was kicked out for sharing screeners. The same punishment as Harvey Weinstein for giving his neighbor a copy of Seabiscuit on VHS.
Carmine Caridi kicked out for sharing a video.
We'll do it all again next year. It is the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
The Deadpool.
The Deadpool's an age-old media tradition, normally played in newspaper offices around the world, where at the beginning of the year, everybody in the office names a list of people, celebrities, they think will die during that year. The one with the most deadies at the end of the year wins.
Mm-hmm.
We started with five each. Everyone of us got five, and Robin's the only one to have scored.
We started with
being
five.
Successful.
And you can add one each month if one of your celebrities, we'll call them deadies, if they drop out, if they die, you get to add another one. So this is March. We're all adding one more for March. But Robin Bailey, you get to add two because last month or earlier this month, you lost Billy Graham off your list.
I know, TV evangelist.
Which makes you one and me and Marto are zero. Shall I quickly run through
yes,
who we've
go
got?
Ahead.
Okay, Marto's got Ozzy Osbourne, Bob Hawke, Duke of Edinburgh, Jimmy Carter, Mazuzu Nanaka.
World's who oldest is, man, 112 or, years, he's due.
Still kicking?
And, he's ripe.
And Doris Day. And Doris Day. Yeah. Remember, the criteria is their death must be reported in the Courier Mail, the only paper we read. The only paper in Brisbane.
Righto, Moon.
That's right.
You've got Charlie Watts, David Attenborough, Kyle Sandilands, controversial, Bill Cosby, Clive Palmer. Interesting. Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell. Okay, I've got Donald Trump, Robert Mugabe, Betty White, Kurt Douglas, Ronnie Wood. And I'm just about to add a couple. Brendo, you have Harry Belafonte, yes. Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, George Bush Sr. and Angela Lansbury.
What do you know about Angela Lansbury? How's she feeling?
She's no, I don't think she's tracking too well. I think she's been a bit unwell. And Murder She Wrote was a long time ago.
Murder She Wrote. Right. And Brendo's hoping Murder She Gets.
Scotty, so our producer, got one more. Has just wanted Rupert Murdoch. He's putting all his eggs in one basket.
That's not a Deadpool. That's a
that's
wish.
Just a wish, yeah. That's a, somehow, okay. Scotty, our producer, hates Rupert Murdoch.
Have you got one ready to go, Robin?
I've got two. Yeah, I get two. So I'm going to replace Billy Graham with Clive James.
Oh, no.
That's a good guess. Because he has got everything. He's got cancer. Yeah. He's got dementia.
I was going to go, Clive. Have you read that? He reckons he used to smoke 80 cigarettes a day.
Yeah, and he drinks. Anyway, the other one that I'm thinking of is a debatable based on the Oscars yesterday. There were two Christophers that need to be considered. Right. One of them is Christopher Plummer, who, for those who loved Sound of Music, was Von Trapp, but in recent times and was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in All the Money in the World. He's 88 years old.
And you know the interesting thing about that, of course, he replaced Kevin Spacey in that movie. Kevin Spacey was meant to play, who is it, Rockefeller?
Yep.
Sure.
And he was taken out and
Christopher Plummer
was put in.
So it's either between him or the other one that shocked me so much. He's only 74 years of age. But if you saw Christopher Walken yesterday at the Oscars, that man is a dead man walking.
You have to think like a mouse. If you can do that, if you can think like a mouse, you can anticipate their moves. Then, boom.
I love Christopher Walken, but seriously, man, he looks shocking.
Really?
Yeah.
So Christopher, but he's always looked a bit on the ill side.
Yeah. I know, that's why I'm going to go with Christopher Plummer.
Oh,
I think. Okay. Between the two,
no, but
I have
hold on,
to
you've
choose.
Got to put two in.
Well,
because you've got to replace.
Well, no, but I replaced Clive James. Oh, okay, Billy Graham.
Which has sent me into a spin. I've got to find someone now.
So Christopher.
Plummer.
Plummer.
Just on
the plums. Von Trapp out. So over to you, Marto. You did mention Cornelia Francis recently.
I was going to go George Pell. He's too young.
But Nurse Scott, wasn't she? Sister
she
Scott?
Yes, she was.
In Young Doctors.
Yeah.
And then she was, of course, the host
Am I allowed to put her in?
Of course you're allowed to put her in.
I thought there was a rule if they'd been in a hospital bed in a photo.
Yeah. It's low-hanging fruit. Go with someone else.
Yeah, you can't walk through a casualty ward going, yeah, you.
No. It defeats the purpose of the game.
Okay, come on.
I've had Clive James stolen from me. I've had that disrupted. Like, come on. What are the rules here? Well, and you said I can't go Richo because he's a friend of the show. Like, what can I go?
I've had Clive James stolen from me. All right.
You go and I'll get back to you. I'm currently looking at pictures on how unwell some people
are. Do you want
are.
Mine, mate? Do you want mine? Take mine. I saw Larry King the other day, Marta.
No, you can't take anyone else's. It's
come
fine.
Come on, Moon. Okay. While he debates on, himself.
I'm going to go Harvey Weinstein. I think Harvey is under a lot of pressure. I think Harvey. Harvey's on my list.
Put me down for Henry Kissinger.
Okay.
Out of nowhere. All right, Deadpool lists have been amended.
Put me down for Henry Kissinger.
We'll do it all again next month.
It's like
being
at the stock exchange.
Have a look at him.
Sell.
Yeah, back in my day.
Righto, 30 years ago today, 6th of March, 1988, was the first ever Broncos game in the NRL. I think it was still New South Wales Rugby League. 30 years ago.
Where did that go?
Where did it go? That's so true.
Were you happy with the last 30, Marto?
Yeah, mate, 6 premierships, not bad.
Mm.
No other club's been as successful in the last 30 years, so unreal. And when I went along with my best mate, Mick, we went along that day, and in my mind, I thought there was 40,000. I've just read the match report. There was 17,500. There was 37,000 people went to Suncorp. This was before all the grandstands and stuff. It was a big outer, and there was the Frank Burke stand on Castlemaine Street. There was a medium-sized grandstand on Hale Street, right? 17,500, but the Origin the year before there'd been 37,000 people there.
So when the Broncos,
not everyone liked them,
first started, when you say 30 years ago, their first game in the NRL, what was their history prior to that?
The Brisbane Rugby League competition was mega strong, really strong. So all those State of Origin guys who didn't go down to a Sydney club because they had pokey machines. We never had pokey machines here in Brisbane.
So they could afford to poach them all.
That's right. They grabbed them. But guys like Wally Lewis didn't go. Greg Dowling didn't go. Krineski didn't go. Chris Johns came up here to play for them. Who else did they have? Terry Madison. So we brought some second raiders like Chris Johns and Terry Madison, and they became really good players. Brought some up, and the rest of it was just plucked all the players out of the Brisbane club teams, and that competition virtually died.
So was the Broncos a manufactured club, or did they exist in that competition?
No, mate. No, right. They're completely manufactured. The four members, who was it? Maranta, do you remember all this?
No.
Steve Williams, Barry Maranta, Steve Williams, Paul Morgan, and maybe Ron McConnell. They went over to the States, looked at the Denver Broncos, stole their name, put it onto the Brisbane, and away you went. And the Powers, well, hold on, let's open it up to everyone else, because the jersey sponsor, Powers Brewing, they were on the front of the jersey, hadn't even started making beer.
And was 17,000 at the time a massive turnout because there was such a huge appetite to get into the NRL, or was it like
we're
in
two
minds
about it? It felt huge walking into the stadium that day, but then I realised there was 37,000 there at the Origin the year before, so there were people actually angry the Broncos were destroying their local comp.
Right.
And a mate of mine, Lars Halverson, he just got me on Facebook. He said it was 44-10, the score when they beat Manly. Yeah. But I just showed you a video of the Manly prop, Don McKinnon. He was a policeman. He urinated on the field that day, just stood up and didn't even bend down, just stood there and had a slash, $1,000 fine.
Good.
Way back in 1988, that's a lot.
44-10. First try, Brett Lemayne.
Is that why everyone hates Manly? Because it was the first team that we played? Because there is a passion against Manly.
Manly. I think everyone hates Manly.
I think Manly are a bit of a moneyed club and, their success is associated with that.
Well, you just mentioned the first ever try. Would you like to relive it?
It's a great quiz question.
Lord. Here it is.
Opening minutes of the debut into the Winfield Cup in 88 for the Brisbane Broncos. Last tackle. They've gone to the air each occasion. And again, more pressure for Shearer. Well, he's last it. This has got to be a try under the post. They've crashed over. Another mistake from Dale Shearer.
Didn't even mention the bloke's name. It was Brett Lemayne, who lives somewhere in Brisbane. Apparently he doesn't like to talk about it too much. Just blended back into his life.
Talk about back in my day, the Winfield Cup, back in the good old days of tobacco sponsoring sport.
Forget that, don't you?
Mark of Browns Plains, what do you remember about that first ever Broncos game?
I think it was the fact that Joe Kilroy, had a couple of cheerleaders running up and down the sideline.
He had personal cheerleaders. He did too, Smoking Joe. Like, he used to come off and have a durry. There you go.
More than the durry, mate.
Okay, I didn't know. All right. Me conjecture.
With the cheerleaders. And, of course, everyone's 30 years older. I wonder where those cheerleaders are today.
Oh, I saw Joey still rides his Harley Davidson, I think, around the place.
And was Buck the horse there then?
No, that came later.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all pretty amateur hour in the first year,
Buck
Rob.
What's Buck the horse?
Buck is the mascot. So okay. Buck is a big horse that drives. He laps every time.
I saw one time they beat Balmain 66-10 or something or other. Buck was stuffed at the end of that.
So is it two blokes in a horse costume?
No, it's a legitimate horse. Yeah,
it's
Buck's a thing.
Horse.
Big grey horse.
Yeah, Buck's a thing.
But what?
There was a time there when they had so many sponsors. The Broncos used to have post box. They'd have cartons of milk. They had so many. Anyway.
Nick of Greenbank, what do you remember about that first year of the Broncos?
So I was living in Wagga in New South Wales, and I was about probably 13 or 14, and I bought a Broncos jersey because I love the Brisbane Broncos because that's where I was from. And I had a number 6 iron-on number on there for Wally Lewis.
Yeah.
And I copped so much grief in that, well, it was probably a small town back then. That I had to actually put a number 8 over the top of it because every time I walked down the main street with that jersey on, I'd be getting abused by anyone and everyone in the street.
And to emulate your hero, Nick, did you wear your shorts fairly high too when you played sport?
Yeah, back then I think all footy shorts were designed that way. All footy shorts were those old, stubby type ones.
They liked to show the full thigh, didn't they?
They did, yes. And they liked the stripes down the sides.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the King, I'm sure he'd remember it fondly, and we're going to get him on next.
We are?
And Dale Shearer, two men that played in that very first game, celebrating 30 years since the very first game of the Broncos here on Brisbane's Triple M.